Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the second edition of You Served, You Earned on Talk Radio 790 KABC, the radio show that talks about resources and services available to anyone who has served or is serving the U.S. military, National Guard, and the War of the Reserves. This show is the second of six, away on Saturdays in October and November, leading up to Veterans Day, November 11th. This show is sponsored by the Los Angeles County Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. I'm your host, William Wilson. Kathleen, would you be so kind as to give us the website and phone number?
Sure. The website is youserveyouearn.com. And the phone number, in case anyone, family member, veteran, anyone that wants more info, is 1-877-4-LA-VETS, 1-877-4-LA-VETS.
Great. Thank you, Kathleen. So I'm William Wilson, and today we have two veterans with extensive experience with veteran peers and how they can help other veterans. And let me introduce them. We have Jim Zinner, Director of the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs for Los Angeles County. Jim, tell us your branch of service, what your role was in the U.S. military, and what you're doing now.
Yeah. So good morning, William. My name is Jim Zinner. I'm the Director of Military Veteran Affairs, as you mentioned. I was in the Army active duty from 2004 to 2008, and then in the U.S. Reserves from 2008 to 2011. I served one tour in Iraq during 06 to 07 during the surge, and my MOS, or military occupation specialty, was 96 Bravo, which changed to 35 Fox, which is all source intelligence analyst. During that time, I served mostly in the S2, what's called the S2. We did physical security, and overseas, we did a lot of debriefing of patrols and putting information from gathered from the platoon leaders into Microsoft Office products and other products, and briefing commanders to make sure they understood where the positions of the enemy were and any kind of situation that would arise on the battlefield.
And Nate Grazer, you're with Southern California Grantmakers, the Director of Veterans Initiatives there, and also an Army chaplain. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Nate Grazer, and I am originally from Indiana. I joined the Indiana National Guard in 2000. My first day of college was September 11th, my first week. And I knew, I think it's going to change my relationship in the Guard. And so since then, we've deployed, I think, well over a million National Guard members. And in 2005, my best friend was deployed and died in Afghanistan. And so around that point, I watched my friends come home and ask for help and couldn't find it. And so I asked around and said, hey, who helps these people? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, that's what chaplains do. I was like, don't you have to be old and religious to be a chaplain? They said, no, you could just go to seminary. So that started my path, and really I've been working with soldiers and veterans ever since.
Sort of wraparound care you do, help them get started in life. You counsel them as they get married. You help them deal with grief, and then you're also involved with peer support. And it's all sort of peer support, isn't it, being a chaplain and doing what you do right now with the Veteran Peer Access Network?
Yeah, I would say a lot of my role is very similar to peer work. And it's really just about witnessing people. And so when people are going through hard times, you don't want to do it alone. And you need somebody to help you be seen and to understand that you're facing really hard challenges. And I think one of the things that we can do for people is to help them see that they can get through it. And sometimes that's because we've been through it too.
And that's really the essence of peer support specialists, what we're going to talk about today. You know, they're important allies for veterans because they understand what they're going through. They speak the same language. They've been there. They've done that. And they can offer suggestions to enhance a recovery-oriented care if needed. A central factor to recovery, unique to veterans and their families, is the ability of an individual to work towards personal goals as a means to achieve better health, rather than striving to be a good patient, striving to be a better parent, a better student, a better spouse. Jim, could you expand on that concept of the peer support specialist and how that fits into what you do and what VPAN does in the community?
Yeah, so peer support specialist, really, I mean, what we have in LA is an under-enrollment of veterans. We know we have a lot of veterans here in LA County. And really, you know, finding them, engaging with them, and convincing them to come in and get care, whether it's, you know, with the VA or with the county, just somewhere where they can get more information from somebody about everything that is available to them so they don't feel isolated on their own. I know when I got back you know, stateside and got out of the military, it was really, I felt alone amongst 10 million people. And a lot of veterans out there we know are likely just feeling that same feeling. And so, you know, peer support adds a layer where, you know, I can build instant rapport with somebody. You know, first thing that's out of our mouth usually is veterans, peer support, or, you know, hey, what unit were you? What branch were you? You know, that's something that non-peers can also ask if trained properly. But being able to respond, oh, I was second ID, a lot of times, you know, I'll find commonalities in that first one. And then from there, we just dig in the conversation. It's, you know, oh, you were second ID too? I was in Korea. Oh, well, I was on the other side. I was in Fort Lewis. Mm-hmm. And that just really, it's like catching up with, you know, your high school buddies like 20 years later and picking up right where you left off. And, you know, half the time you've never, you know, well, almost every time you've never met the individual before, but just because you have that common experience in the military, it's like you knew them throughout high school or college.
Sure. And speaking of commonalities, you faced some challenges, some significant barriers when you came back in terms of transitioning that can help you identify perhaps others who are experiencing similar barriers when they get out. Do you care to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, you know, for us, it's really hard to just be vulnerable and just talk. I mean, when we're in the military, suck it up. Don't talk about that because the guys and gals next to you won't be able to trust that you'll be able to get them through the thick and the thin when you're, you know, in it, in the military. Mm-hmm. And so getting out, you know, a lot of us, we bring that with us and we're not talking about it. And so, you know, my experience is coming back, you know, living and sleeping in my car, you know, needing to get years of mental health help from the VA to be able to tolerate work, tolerate traffic, tolerate reporting.
Where did you get that help again? Because I
yes. Support of VA. It was great. but yeah, so it was, you know, going through those experiences is one thing as a peer, but being able to talk about them, being able to be vulnerable, like it, you know, effective peer support requires you to be able to be vulnerable, which goes against your every grain that you have as a veteran and what you're taught in the military.
You know, Nate, you talk a lot about that, about how there's no need to go through this alone, right? You don't go to war alone. Why should you go through this alone, transition and becoming a civilian after being in uniform?
Yeah, the vulnerability part is so hard, right? Because what it requires is so far to date, the way that we help vets is when you get out of the military and you transition out, we assume that you're going to know when you're going to need help. And generally what we find is that that's not always true. Generally, I know when I need help. It's when I can't do it on my own anymore. And so I know whether it's a chaplain, as a clinician, as a peer support, generally people come to me when they've exhausted every other option and they're like, I'm going to be evicted tomorrow. And you're like, dear God, what happened here? I've tried everything. And so one of the things that we just have been working on is trying to get to vets before they're in crisis.
Right.
And so we can't do this alone. None of us can. You said it. But what we really need is we need people who can see the signs and help build relationships with people to get them to access the community of support that's here. In Southern California, we have an enormous amount of, we have an incredible veteran support network. I know both Jim and I, this is like my favorite thing in the world to do, to meet somebody who just gets out of the military. And I'm like, hey, is it hard? He's like, it's so hard. I'm like, it's really hard.
Well, that a couple of things are really, it's preventative care. They always say is cheaper than crisis management. Trying to fix somebody once they're sick is more expensive than trying to keep them from getting sick in the first place. And that's sort of what a successful transition is all about, right?
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, I would say a successful transition is somebody who takes what they did in service, all those values, all that knowledge, learning, all of that loyalty, service. There's an incredible skill set that's drawn from in the military. And when you go back and we're able to reinvest it in your community, to host radio shows, whatever it is, right? To reinvest that in a way that is a service to your community and lets that service continue.
You know, Jim, there's a lot of resources out there available to vets and their families, more so than perhaps other subpopulations. But the difficulty for many is just navigating those resources and knowing where to go for the help, because the help is there often enough. It's just a matter of finding it and making it available to those who need it the most. How does your program, how does your department figure into that effort?
Yeah. So as county VSOs, we really we have a lot at our fingertips to offer veterans.
A veteran service officer.
Yeah. County veteran service officers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can enroll veterans into the VA healthcare if they're eligible. We can enroll veterans into state benefits such as free college tuition for their kids and dependents.
Wow.
We can, you know, a lot of us in LA are combat vets or veterans that have served, navigated the VA ourselves. So, you know, we're great peer advocates. We can talk from a place of experience. And, you know, a lot of success is really engaging with family members. A lot of us veterans aren't going to go in willingly to get benefits. But, you know, as we engage veteran spouses, family members, and tell them about the benefits, they usually drag their veteran in to get seen by one of us to get their services. And once they come in and they start talking to another veteran that explaining all the benefits and have got the benefits themselves, it just makes sense. You know, they become excited, they're connecting with another vet, and then they, you know, tend to think about, you know, I'm doing this for my family.
Right.
But when you just talk to the veteran, a lot of times we just like, yeah, we're good. We don't need a handout. We don't, you know, you're calling it a hand up, but we know what that means. We don't want it.
How do you overcome that? Because so for example, I went downtown to get a veterans designator thing on my driver's license at Patriotic Hall. I thought it would get me out of tickets. It doesn't, by the way. But while I was there, the veteran service officer
nice try.
convinced me to sign up for VA healthcare. And he was very persistent. And I didn't think I was even eligible for VA healthcare. And I certainly didn't want a disability rating because a disabled, I wasn't shot.
Yeah.
You know, how do you overcome that mindset that I don't want a handout? I you know, I served, you paid me, I had great benefits, and it's done.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we do is we really make it not about them. It's like, hey, do this for your family. Do this for your kids.
Mm.
You know, in the military, you know, we come from a society in the U.S. where it's very individualistic and we're broken down and we're built back up to think about the team, not ourselves. And so just like the vulnerability piece, you know, you know, being veterans ourselves and understanding the culture, we tend to like make it about their family, their wife, their husband, whatever. And generally that's how we break through that. Like, hey, wouldn't free tuition for your kids be great?
Right.
You know, you got to fill out this paperwork and we'll send it in. And, you know, it's a disability rating, but I still work and I'm 70% disabled. You know, I'm working here talking to you. So, you know, it doesn't mean they're going to issue you a wheelchair and you got to sit in it in order to get the money. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
we just bring that veteran to veteran piece, you know, like and normalize it and really make it about, yeah, don't do it for yourself. Do it for your family. And that usually gets them in the door. And once they do it, they're always grateful.
Once you frame it around the family construct, then they realize, okay, maybe this is worth pursuing. You know, if you just tuned in, you're listening to You Served, You Earned on Talk Radio 790 KABC. This is a show supporting our veterans and the benefits that they've earned. I'm your host, William Wilson, and today we're talking to Jim Zenner and Nate Grazer about Veteran Peer Access Network and the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs and how those two work in tandem to serve the veterans and the families in our community. Kathleen, would you mind giving us again the website and phone number?
Absolutely. You can go to the website, youservedyouveearned.com. If you fill out the form, someone will be in contact with you, and you'll also be eligible to win a $1,000 gift card. So don't forget
really?
About that.
Wait, what was it again?
Right now, youservedyouearned.com.
You still get tickets, William.
Oh, okay.
You still get tickets. You're going to have to pay for those.
As long as it's those kinds of tickets and not the traffic tickets.
Right.
You know, Veteran Peer Access Network is a pilot program designed to target a subpopulation of veterans and their families here within Los Angeles.
By the way, Southern California is the most veterans in the whole country, right?
Correct.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
And Los Angeles has the highest number of veterans in the state of California, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
They're all here.
So real quick, I got to say this.
Yeah.
So one of the things that Jim said was this sense that vets have a hard time advocating or doing things for themselves, right? I'm just thinking, mm-hmm. you know, you don't want benefits. Somebody has to talk you into getting benefits.
Right.
This is often hard for people to understand that. Why would you serve in the military and then not get any of the benefits for it? And be like, no, that was cool. People are like, I don't understand. Why wouldn't they just sign up? And I think it gets to this like sort of deep human challenge, which is that we don't really, especially in the military, we're not really taught to care for ourselves. And so there's this wonderful study that if you're prescribed medication, if I prescribe you medication, you have like a 30% chance of actually taking it the way that I had prescribed it to you. But if I get 30, it's like 30%. Actually, it's exponentially, it goes way down. So here's the best part. If you come in with a sick dog and I prescribe medication to your dog, there's like a 90% chance you'll take it exactly when and where exactly. So why is it that we care for animals more than ourselves, right? We're willing, much more present to like, oh, I trust this. This is really important. But when it's me, it's like, eh. And I think this is where peer support comes in, because what peer support does is you have someone else who says, look, you matter. Actually, your service mattered. And, you know, in theme of the show, you paid your dues here. Let us serve you. Mm-hmm. And so I know it feels awkward. I know it's weird to do something for yourself. But this will be not just good for you. It'll be good for our communities. And you know, the family does work. And you'll be better off. You'll be able to serve more people if you don't have to worry about if you're not as stressed about your kid's tuition bill. Right.
Right. And Jim, you were able to codify this concept into a pilot program that's been around for a little over a year and a half now, Veteran Peer Access Network. Can you talk us through what was your thinking when you were envisioned this pilot program, and what barriers did you encounter in trying to create it?
Yeah. So, you know, the whole essence of VPN is really kind of modeled off an old model called the Vet Center that's still around. When the Vet Center first came out, back as Vietnam vets were coming back from that war, they found that veterans weren't going to the VA. They were out in the communities, and they wanted, you know, they didn't want anything to do with the VA. And so over time, the Vet Centers kind of, you know, got away from that model. But the need is still there for a program like the Vet Center, where you're out in the community, it's peer-to-peer, you go to them, they don't come to you. And so, you know, really, it's a concept that came before me. But, you know, L.A. County, really, the board really wanted to make sure that no veterans were falling through the cracks. Mm-hmm. And so they put together some legislation to really put the resources behind the Veteran Peer Access Network. And so when I learned that, it was an easy decision to come on board with the county and a true honor to start that program. So, you know, really it's about, you know, just like I said, it's about getting veterans and their family members to sign up to do, you know, to really act as peer advocates. A lot of us do the work, you know, on our off time. You know, like I know Nate gets calls after hours from veterans and their families, you know, not related to his chaplain duties. And he willingly, you know, does the work, you know, outside of work, just like I do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's really kind of, you know, it's really just getting the resources, you know, and that's the biggest burden, is getting, you know, the state, the county to fund programs like this, the VA. A lot of the barriers, really, we kind of, as peer support, we go against the grain and we're threatening to other disciplines like the medical field, the psychologists, social workers. They, you know, they're, a lot of times they're afraid that they're going to be put out of work by us peers.
Oh, interesting.
And, you know, the fact of the matter is we need them too.
Right.
You know, but we're really the best entry point for veterans and their families. And going out there in the community, it's not cost efficient to have psychiatrists out in the community walk around trying to find vets. But us peers, you know, we're not as costly, and we're, I would say, way more effective in building those initial relationships and convincing people to come into care than a psychiatrist. And so that's really the magic. I mean, the real barrier is just getting government to understand how important these programs are. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be prouder of LA County and the work that we've done here.
The importance of investing in peer support.
Correct. Right. Absolutely.
Before we run out of time, I want to make sure that we get an example of peer helping other peers. Do you guys want to talk about that?
Like maybe a success story you've had. And also within that context, we'd be remiss if we didn't discuss some of the services available to people through this program. What they can avail themselves of in terms of housing assistance, income assistance. So maybe is there a success story that you've had in one of those instances?
Yeah. So I ran a program called Hollywood Veteran Center back in the day. And it was, you know, obviously me being a vet, I hired all graduates of the program to work in the program. And we had a veteran come through the combat court out of Santa Ana, mm-hmm. down in Orange County. And I remember when he came into the program, it was a 1,000-yard stare. And, you know, just this program ran by vets for vets, you know, I designed the program based on their feedback of what they needed to be successful. We focused on employment and the next steps in lives, not about sitting in a group and you know, doing psychotherapy and stuff like that. And really he, you know, the court system was not easy for him. Like he it's an 18-month program minimum. And so not only was he successful up until about the 11-month part, he actually relapsed once on alcohol on his 11 months, and he the judge put him in jail for a week and extended the program another 6 months. But he, you know, first he was like, you know, I don't need this therapy. I don't need this, you know, I don't need any help. And the pressure from the court system and just the being around other veterans that were considering and in this same place, like, I don't know if therapy's for me. You know, he was able to find his own way. You know, instead of therapy, he found meditation, mindfulness and meditation kind of exercises to be the most effective. And, you know, he found a job about a year into his stay. That really helped him. He was providing peer support for other veterans. So he was learning through his experiences providing peer support of things that he could apply to his own journey. And, you know, to fast forward, he graduated from Columbia University. And last time I heard from him, he was surfing off the coast of Spain. super, super proud of the guy. But, you know, it's really, you know, we got a lot of veterans in the justice system and really, you know, good programming that really taps into that and supports the court. And those therapeutic type interventions can be extremely successful.
Yeah. Nate, talk us through a little bit about the program and its presence physically in Los Angeles County. Where is it and how do people find it?
Yeah, so VPN is it's designed. We design it as sort of like a hub and spoke model. So basically, what that means is that we have a location in each of the supervisory districts, and so
there's five.
There's five. That's right. There's five supervisory districts, and each of them has a team of peer support specialists, somebody to help manage services and housing needs, and then a program manager, and so. Generally, all of these are military or veteran connected, and they're your best friends, right? People walk in the door, they just hang out sometimes in those, we call them rally points. And so rally points is like, it's the office, right? It's where you go to say, hey, look, I something's wrong with my shoulder. I think I need to, you know, talk to a veteran, county veteran service officer and talk about maybe, I think this might be from service. Maybe I'm like, hey, look, I got it. To register for my kids are going to college, but is there a waiver? So I'm like, sure, let me help you. Or maybe it's just employment. Hey, I need anybody have a good lead on a job? And like, hey, look, we can help you. Mm-hmm. So at each of these locations, all of those VPN teams have access to this larger platform that we call Unite Us, which is a platform that covers the whole county and literally hundreds of service providers and people who support people who served in the military. And so any one of those locations can help you get access to a lot of that support.
Yeah. And Nate, do you have any story you would like to highlight very briefly about some success you've encountered in this line of work?
Yeah, I have a lot of successes. I guess maybe the most recent one is that I was on an airplane. So you said it was off time. This is how we roll, right? Mm-hmm. So part of our role is, since we don't have a good way to find vets, and I don't know how many vets actually listen to the radio. Maybe they do. I hope they do. Mm-hmm. You should be listening and sign up for VPN right now. But if we have a hard time finding them. So it means that our whole peer community, our whole veteran community has to find vets. And so recently I was flying back and I met a mom who said that her son had just transitioned out of the Air Force and was having a hard time. It was like 9 months ago. I was like, dude, give me his number. We met up for lunch. He told me all the things. He's like, it's been so hard, way harder than I thought. I'm struggling here. And I said, well, look, we have a program that can help you. Mm-hmm. Connected him to a VPN peer. He's already been enrolled. He's got all these supports. He's already has two job interviews lined up. And he's already sent in an application for service. So now he's going to be healthcare eligible.
You know, listeners, if you wonder, where does the money go and does it ever work and does any of this stuff ever really happen? It does. And this is it. And I want to thank you both so much for being here today and letting everyone know about services and benefits available to them if they've been part of any U.S. military branch. And folks, even if you don't think you're eligible for benefits, you can get help from an accredited VSO at the L.A. County Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. There's a lot of veterans come in to get a driver's license designation, which makes it easier when it comes to providing an ID with your veteran status on it. So you can find out if they're able to get many other services like health care, mental health care, education fee waivers, compensation, housing assistance. So if you're interested, please check out youserveyouearn.com. And what's the number, Kathleen?
1-877-4-LA-VETS.
Would you mind telling us what we have to look forward to in the next installment?
I'll tell you exactly. It's called the Veteran Collaborative. This is a group of veterans organizations that come together to work together so that a lot of organizations or agencies aren't replicating the same thing, so that people can all go to the same place and kind of get assistance.
The Los Angeles Veterans Collaborative.
Correct.
LAVC. They meet once a month. And it's a group of really high-powered movers and shakers within the veteran community who come together to find solutions to barriers that our peers encounter and trying to help veterans and their families throughout the county. And it's a really worthwhile organization, and we're so proud to be a part of them and so proud of you guys for all that you've done. And again, thank you so much for being here. And any last looks, Jim, Nate?
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Yeah, no, let's please, if you're listening, please reach out. We'd love to talk to you and see what you're eligible for and get you plugged in.
You know, these guys have told their stories, but there are so many stories of the peers helping other veterans get off the streets and many other like crucial assistance that they've helped. I mean, it's
just drive down any street in LA.
Miraculous. Yeah.
And the good news is that if you're a veteran or a family member, there is help available for you. YouServeYouEarn.com. One more time, what's the number, Kathleen?
1-877-4-LA-VETS.
Thanks again for listening, folks. I'm William Wilson, your host today. You've been listening to You Serve, You Earned. It's a show supporting veterans and the benefits they've earned. And we've been talking to Jim Zenner of the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs and Nate Grazer from Southern California Grantmakers. And we'd like you to tune in every Saturday at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.